Good vach to everybody. Parshas Beshalach, there's like a load, an enormous amount of material to cover, to learn. This parsha is chock full of information and really gets to the guts of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. The 40-year sojourn of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar really has a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows. And the Parshas Beshalach, which is sort of the beginning of the events and the times and the life of the Jewish people in the Midbar, is really substantial, certainly in Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Beshalach really covers almost the first number of months in about a year of the Jewish people's early stage in the Midbar. Sefer Bamidbar really touches on the last year. We don't know much about the 38 years in between year 1 and year 40, but Parshas Beshalach really is year number 1, the first year of the sojourn in the Midbar, and really there's a significant amount of material and a lot to talk about. I'd like to bring out what I think is a very critical element of the time that Bnei Yisrael spent in the Midbar, and I hope that you will walk away with very much a different insight into how to view Klal Yisrael, how to really appreciate who Bnei Yisrael were and some of the challenges that they were going through. And I really do think that it speaks to us by Yami Mahem, Bazman Azeh, the life and times that we have as well. So in Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14, Pasuk Yud, as Paro is closing in on Bnei Yisrael, and as Bnei Yisrael are running away, so Paro is behind Bnei Yisrael, the Yamsuf is in front of them, and the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud, Perek Yudal, Paro Hikriv, Paro was approaching. Vayisu Bnei Yisrael es einehem, and the Jewish people raised their eyes. V'hinei Mitzrayim noseh achrayim, the Mitzrayim were running after them. So sort of have to paint the picture in a very dramatic moment. Bnei Yisrael completed Makas Bechoros. They're running from Paro. And as they get closer and closer and closer to the sea, so the sea is in front of them, it looks like it's a mountain that can never be traversed, and behind them is Paro. So this is very, very frightening. It's a scary moment. Klal Yisrael look to be sandwiched from Paro behind and the Yam Suf in front of them. What do Bnei Yisrael do at this moment? Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael Hashem. They daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi picks up on this and says, this is what Jewish people do in times of distress. They dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi notes, Tafsu umnus avosam. They grabbed on to the work, and they grabbed on to the handiwork of their ancestors. What did the Jewish people's ancestors do? Avram davened, Yitzchak davened, Yaakov davened. And Rashi quotes the Psukim, where we see that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov instituted tefillah. So Vayitza'aku is a lashon of tza'aka, a lashon of tefillah. Klal Yisrael poured out their hearts and they poured out their lips in tefillah. Vayitza'aku el Hashem. There was nothing else for them to do. But then take a look in the very next pasuk, pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomru el Moshe, they said to Moshe, Hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim l'kachtenu lamos b'midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu, were there no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness? Mazosa sisalon, they say to Moshe, what have you done to us? Lotzion b'mitzrayim, to take us out of Egypt. Stop. Pasuk Yud and Yud Beis juxtapose one to another seem to be very, very difficult to understand. We just said in Pasuk Yid Aleph, as Bnei Yisrael were closing in, and were reaching the Yam Suf, and Paro was behind them. What did they do? Vayitzak will Hashem, they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Rashi, Tafsu umnosu veseim. They grabbed onto the handiwork of their ancestors, they davened. And the very next words that emerge from their lips is complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on here? How could the very same people daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and moments later complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This question is raised by the Ramban. Nachmanides in this pasuk asks the question, and listen to his language, how he asks it. Einenu nira. And he says this almost like a psychological question. It's an impossibility. Ki bnei adam atzoakim al Hashem. That people who are crying out to Hashem, lehoshiyam, yivatu b'yeshua asher asalem, are going to start complaining about what Moshe did. V'yomru ki tovlam shlo hatzilam. How could that be? How could the very same people cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us, protect us, save us. And at the same moment, they're going to start complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu and rebuking Moshe for taking them out of Mitzrayim. Listen to the answer of the Ramban. And this answer is what I would like to use to try to work through really all of Parshas Beshalach, and I think is critical to understanding the Dor HaMarbor. Dor HaMidbar. Listen to the Ramban. The Ramban says, Aval Anacha. The answer to this question is, Shnefarish ki hayu kitos. There were different groups. There were different groups of the Jewish people. Ve'hakasuv yisapel kol masha asukulam. The Torah is reporting what every individual group of Jewish people was doing then. Amar, ki akat ha'achas, one group, tzoakes l'Hashem, one group of Jews cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during a time of distress, during a time of challenge. They cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ha'achas makcheshes b'nevuaso. And a different group denies nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. That's to say that in the Dor HaMidbar, we shouldn't be fooled to think that there was one homogeneous group of Jewish people. It was just one group of Klal Yisrael that was redeemed. They left Mitzrayim. They were headed to Eretz Yisrael. They were headed to Matan Torah, and everybody was on the same page. It's not true. Just like now, we have different types of Jews, and we have different types of members of Klal Yisrael, different types of people who have different reactions and approaches to how to deal with stressful, difficult situations. Some turn to the Spirit, some turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of distress, in times of challenge, and others deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same thing that we see now is exactly what happened in the Dor HaMidbar. It's immature to think that all of the Jewish people in Dor HaMidbar were simply doing the same thing. Says the Ramban, Ibchav Mistabra. It's not true. There were different groups, and in the very two Pasukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, juxtaposed to each other, says the Ramban, the Torah is teaching us this point. That in one Pasuk, the Torah is telling us, Vayitzaku B'nei Yisrael El Hashem, that B'nei Yisrael dav into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the next Pasuk, the same different group of people started kvetching, complaining, anarchists, rebels, angry, denying Nevuas Moshe and saying that Moshe should have taken us out of Mitzrayim. The Ramban takes this one step further. And this is critical because if you understand what the Ramban says here, you could have a different insight to all of Parshas Bishalach and all the Dor HaMidbar. Says the Ramban, you have to read the Psukim very carefully. There's somebody called Bnei Yisrael and there's somebody called Am Yisrael. We often use those two terms interchangeably, B'nai Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Ramban says, no. Read the parsha and read the Torah carefully. B'nai Yisrael is a reference, he says, in the language of the Ramban, to Yechidim, to individuals. Yechidim, says the Ramban, means people who are unique, who were the spiritual heirs of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They were the people who were believers. Then you have Am Yisrael. The Am were the rabble-rousers. They were the ones who were not believers. They were the ones who were denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were the ones who were denying the Nevuah of Moshe. And if you take this Yisod, this fundamental and foundational point that the Ramban makes, you will see throughout Parshas Bishalach, these two words, B'nai Yisrael versus Am, used. And every time you see B'nai Yisrael, it'll be a reference to the Jewish people who are acting appropriately, accordingly. They were the Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim. They were the Ba'alei Bitachon. They were the Ochle Haman. When you see the word Am, Am is reference to the complainers, to the people who are causing problems, to the people who didn't believe. Take a look carefully now in the Pasuk, and you read it. Vayomru, Vayiru Ma'od Vayitzaku B'nai Yisrael El Hashem. Who daven to Hashem? B'nai Yisrael. And now look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It doesn't say anything about B'nai Yisrael. Vayomru el Moshe. There was another group of people. It wasn't B'nai Yisrael. Vayomru el Moshe. Hamibli in Kvarm b'mitzrayim lekachtein olamas b'midmar zosa sisa lano t'im b'mitzrayim. Now take a look at this. Who does Moshe respond to? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomru Moshe el Ha'am. Moshe speaks to the nation. Moshe is not speaking to B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, they were Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim. Moshe is to speak to a unique group that's challenging his authority, that's challenging him as the prophet of all prophets. It was one group that said to Moshe, Hamibli ain't kvar b'mitzrayim. Moshe doesn't have to respond to all of Juri, all of the Dor HaYotzei Mitzrayim, all the Dor HaMidbar. Moshe has to respond to the Am. Therefore, Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Vayomer Moshe al Ha'am, al tira'u, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu ru'es yishuas Hashem. Stand strong. You will be able to see the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu asher yaslam hayom, ki asher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sasifun lirosem an olam. Thus, the Ramban tells us, teaches us, and points us in a direction of understanding the Dor HaMidbar, There's Bnei Yisrael, there's Am Yisrael. And we see here from the get-go that it's not one group, it's not a homogeneous group of world Jewry that's leaving Mitzrayim, it's rather Kitos, Kitos. There are factions, there are different groups that are leaving Mitzrayim, and as you'll see momentarily, I'll take you throughout Parshas Bishalach, where I'll show you how this works. If you keep on going in the Parsha, and you take a look now, immediately prior to Kriyas Yamsuf, if you're looking along, if you're using the stone Chumash on page 374, or if you're using a regular Chumash, it's in Perek Yudalad. And these are psukim that are very familiar to you. Perek Yudalad Pasuk Lamed. They are psukim that we recite every morning prior to Kriyas Yamsuf, prior to Shiras Ayam, Oz Yashir. Vayosha Hashem. Now let's read these two psukim very, very carefully. And if you read these psukim very carefully, you'll see the very same theme emerging from the Ramban, and the Ramban says this himself. Pasuk Lamed. Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. Who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu save? Yisrael. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim es Asfatsyam. Bnei Yisrael, this group, this specific, this unique group, the Yechidim, the special group, they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were able to see Mitzrayim es Asfatsyam. Vayar Yisrael es Hayad HaGdola Asher Asah Hashem b'Mitzrayim. We're talking about Yisrael, the Ma'aminim. Bnei Yisrael, who are Ma'aminim, Bnei Ma'aminim. This was one group. This was a group of Klal Yisrael. This was Yisrael. Then look in the last pasuk, prior to Shiras Hayam. The Ramban makes this point. He says, Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. At the end, after we saw the Mitzrayim dying, after we saw the Mitzrayim spit up on the Yamsuf, on the bank of the Yamsuf, after the Am, after they all saw that everybody else were believers, then Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. Then they people, they didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they rather feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'aminu Ba'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Thus the Ramban completes his commentary noting that in the Shiras Hayam, still this group, this cat, this faction, still were not complete believers, and thus the Torah tells us very explicitly, Vayar Yisrael Es Mitzrayim Es Asfayam. Vayar Yisrael Es Yerag Dola Asher Asah Hashem B'Mitzrayim. The Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, they saw, they believed, they had emuna, they had bitachon. It was only after, at the end, when the Am, when these rabble rousers, when this group, when they saw everything that was happening, then Vayiru Am as Hashem, Ve'aminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo, and it wasn't the same because if you look at the pasuk says Vayar Yisrael Yaragdola. The Bnei Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim al panim, face to face, five finger clarity. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Am, they didn't see. Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. The people, the Am, they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they didn't have the same level of clarity, of sight, of vision that Yisrael had. Chasam Sofer on this pasuk points out something else. Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem, Vayaminu B'Hashem Uv'Moshe Avdo. Do you know what allowed the Am to believe in Hashem? Read the pasuk, but carefully. Vayaminu B'Hashem Uv'Moshe Avdo. They saw Moshe. Moshe was the intermediary. That's what allowed them some level of bitachon. But without Moshe, they couldn't even believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before that, the pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael as Yerag Dola. Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, that cat, that group, that were real believers, they saw and they believed in Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't mean Moshe as an intermediary. But the Am, this faction, this group that didn't have the same level of emuna in God as Yisrael, they needed B'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, right? Sort of foreshadowing the Egel Hazav, Moshe being the intermediary, that they needed that. Without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they were unable to survive, they couldn't succeed, they were unable to be fully believers. So here again, you see that very same theme. Thus, according to the Ramban, we have this very critical notion that there is a very basic difference in the Midbar. Don't think that as one homogeneous group of Klal Yisrael of Bnei Yisrael. We have Kitos, Kitos. We have groups and groups, disparity, different colors, different factions of Bnei Yisrael, certain believers, certain Ma'aminim, and that's how we refer to as Yisrael, as opposed to the Am, as opposed to the nation, where we don't see that as well. I like to show you that it's not just the Ramban who makes this point, but I like to point to other Meforshim in the Parsha as well that seem to be working with the Yisod of the Ramban that also seem to stress and to bring this out. If you take a look just a moment earlier in the Psukim, as Klal Yisrael were getting very, very close to the Yamsuf. The Torah reports how Bnei Yisrael entered the Yamsuf. Take a look, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, page 370 in the Storm Chumash, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, the Torah says that the sea split, Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Bisoch Hayam Biyabasha. Now, carefully read this again. Al Pi the Ramban, Vayavo Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, Yisrael entered Bisoch Hayam Biyabasha. They entered in the midst of the sea in the dry land. That means they first entered the Yam, they first entered the water, the sea, which then turned to dry land. Take a look on the next page, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Bisoch Hayam Biyabasha. Again, Bnei Yisrael entered the water, which turned into dry land. And then the water turned out to be a complete safety net for them. A choma, a wall, on their right and on their left. So two psukim. And both psukim indicate that first Bnei Yisrael entered Bisoch Hayam, into the water, into the sea, Biyabasha. So the sea turned into dry land. Now, take a look at the next pasuk. Perek Yudalid Pasuk Chavtes. This is the pasuk before the Kriyas Yamsuf. Uvnei Yisrael Holchu Biyabasha Bisoch Hayam. The exact opposite. Bnei Yisrael entered the Yabasha, the dry land, which turned into water. And the water served for them as a choma, as a wall on their right and on their left. The Klei Yakar, the outstanding disciple of the Maharal Prague, and Klei Yakar is found in all classic Mikros Gedolos, asks three questions. Number one, these psukim seem to be repetitive. Three times the Torah is telling us the same thing. Why do I need to know this three times that the Jewish people entered the water which turned into dry land? Question number two. Read the psukim more carefully. They're not exactly repetitive. The first two psukim, Perek Yudal and Pasuk Tizayin. Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chavei says, first Bnei Yisrael entered Yam, which turned to Yabasha. They entered the water, which then turned into dry land. The latter Pasuk, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chavdes says what? The Jewish people entered on dry land in the midst of the sea. Why is it just the opposite here? The first two psukim told me that Bnei Yisrael entered the water, which then turned into dry land. Here the Torah is telling me just the opposite. The children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Question number two. Question number three. If you look at the first two times the word choma, wall, is written, it's written with a vav. The latter pasuk, it's written missing a vav. What's the difference between choma with a vav and choma without a vav? Listen to what the Klei Yakar says. And again, it piggybacks the commentary of the Ramban. Says the Klei Yakar, not everybody went into the sea the same way. There were different factions, there were different groups of Jews. There was one group of Klal Yisrael that entered Besoch Hayom Biyabasha. They were ready to go in when it was water, when it was sea, when it was absolutely deep and difficult and hard and the Mayim water came up to their neck. There was another group who entered Besoch Hayabasha Besoch Hayom. They waited. They weren't prepared to jump in. They didn't want to get wet. They didn't want to be privy to the miracle. They wanted to be comfortable and make sure everything was okay. They waited for everybody else. That's the latter pasuk. That Bnei Yisrael entered by Yabasha Besoch Hayam. They went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Thus again, just like the Ramban, we see that there were two factions. There was the group that was confident. There was the group that were Bali Bitach or Maminim Bnei Maminim. They were prepared for the miracle. They knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to them. And they went with complete faith and trust in God. That was the group that went, Besoch Hayam Biyabasha. But the other group, We're not the same. This was what we would call the Am, according to the Ramban. These were the group that were scared, were frightened, didn't have the same level of confidence in Amunah B'Tachon B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this group first waited B'Yabasha B'Sochiyam. And says the Klei Yakar, that's why in these two psukim, you see the word Choma, wall, written differently. The first two psukim, when it's talking about B'nai Yisrael entering the sea with confidence and strength and B'Tachon B'nai Yisrael, it says Choma. There the walls, the sea stood for them like strong. But when it's missing a vav, do you know what it spells? Ches mem hey without a vav? Chema. You know what chema means? Anger. Disgust. Vehamayim lahem chema miyamina mismolam. The waters for this group was angry, was upset, was disappointed in this group of Jews who didn't enter bayam besoch hayabasha. So for the group of Jews who entered with bitachon, with complete faith, the water stood for them like a wall, miminim ismolam, it was rock faith. Then when the Jewish people had faith, the walls of the water stood for Klal Yisrael with that same level of faith and that same strength and that same fortitude in response. But for the Jews who were frightened, who were scared, who were not prepared to believe in Moshe or in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those waters stood for them as chema, as angry. Thus the Klei Yakar, like the Ramban, explains the same theme of kitos, different groups of Klal Yisrael. Now, listen to this, especially ladies. You are going to appreciate what I'm about to say, because I'm going to share with you a commentary of the Mor V'Shemesh. The Mor V'Shemesh was Rav Kalman Klonimus Epstein, one of the outstanding Hasidic Rebbes, and he says something just phenomenal. At the end of the Shira, take a look, and this is again something we recite, Baruch Hashem, daily, Kriyas Yamsov, Shiras Hayam. At the end of Az Yashir, take a look, go look in your Seder, you go look in your Chumash, if you have the stone Chumash, page 380, the last Pasuk. The last pasuk of the entire Shira asks the Mor V'Shemesh, seems to be superfluous. The last pasuk, Shira Sayam, Kiva Sus Paro, Birichvo Uva Farasha Bayam, says the Torah, when Paro's cavalry, when Paro's chariots entered with his horsemen inside of the sea, Vayasha Vashem Aleim Esme Hayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned back the waters of the sea upon them, drowning the Mitzrim. Uvnei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha b'soch hayam, right? The pasuk that we're learning now. And the Jewish people at that point entered b'yabasha b'soch hayam. Asks the Mor V'Shemesh, and Rishonim are bothered by this as well. If you take a look before Shiras Hayam, we say that already. Take a look back at the end of Perek Yudalad. We already know the fact that the Mitzrim were swallowed up on the sea, and that's what's allowed us to say the Shira, right? Take a look back, Perek Yudalad. For example, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Vayet Moshe's Yadoyam. Moshe placed his hands on the sea. Vayashav Yam Lifnos Boker. La'esaru. Mitzrayim Nasim Likraso. Vayinar Shemis Mitzrayim Besoch Yam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared, was ready. Moshe Rabbeinu placed his hand on the sea. Vayashuvu Hamayim Vayachasos Erechav Esaparashim Lechol Chel Paro by Machrem Bayam. Lo Nishra Bamer Echad. The water swallowed up all of the Mitzrim. It destroyed them. They were drowned. They, their horsemen, their chariots, all of Mitzrayim, lo nishar b'merecha, nobody was left. Not one Mitzri. Paro was swallowed up as well. Paro was murdered, was killed in this monsoon of water, in this attack, in this complete overwhelming deluge of water. So asks the Mor V'Shemesh, if the Mitzrim were already swallowed up and were already dead, and we already sang Shiras Hayam, why at the end of the Shira, the last pasuk that we say every single day in Az Yashir, the Torah again says, Kiva Suspira Baruch Rosh Hayam, when Paro, his chariots, his horsemen, entered the water, Vayashav Hashem Aleim Esmei Hayam, the water overcovered them, turned them on their faces, Ubnei Yisrael Hachab Yabarash Hamasak, and we already have that pasuk. And then look at the next pasuk, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah, Miriam, the prophetess, emerges, Achos Aaron, the brother of Aaron, Esatov Piyada, she takes the drums in her hand. Vateitzena kol anoshim acharei, all the women follow Miriam. Betupim b'mecholos, they take out their drums and they're dancing. Asks the Mor V'Shemesh, Why is this pasuk of Atikach Miriam specifically, explicitly juxtaposed to the latter pasuk of Kiva Sus Paro? Why now? What was Miriam waiting for? Miriam didn't want to sing with Moshe? Miriam didn't want to sing at the same time as Moshe? Miriam wasn't as excited, as enthused as Moshe Rabbeinu? What dafka is Miriam's song emerging and emanating now when the pasuk tells us, Kiva sus para bericha v'rasha bayam? What happened? What's doing? What's Miriam waiting for? Why isn't Miriam sitting and singing with Moshe? And why is Miriam specifically piggybacking on this latter pasuk? Listen to the beautiful commentary of the Mor of Hashemesh. He says something phenomenal and something awesome. If you take a look in Rashi, Rashi asks the question, where did Miriam get these drums from? If you have to pack up for Mitzrayim, you know, what are you going to pack up? You're going to take your shoes, you're going to take your pajamas, and you're going to pack the kids up, and you're going to run away out of Mitzrayim. Where is she coming with drums and all of these musical instruments? How did she have that? What's doing? Look what Rashi says. Muvtachos hayu. Miriam and the women were muvtachos, were confident, they were believing. Tzadkan yoshebedor, the expert tzadikim of the generation, these righteous women. Shakarash baruchu osim lamnisim. Miriam knew. She was fully confident, as were all of the tzidkanyos, all the outstanding righteous women. V'hotziu tupim b'mitzrayim. When everybody else was busy packing Cheerios and packing batteries and packing their iPhones, what was Miriam doing? She was packing her car with tupim b'mecholos. She was packing up with drums and musical instruments because she was prepared. She was confident that the Mitzrayim would die, that a miracle would be performed. They didn't have the same level of bitachon as the men. It was at a much higher level. So just like the Ramban and the Klei Yakar say that they were factions and they were groups, different levels of bitachon, Rashi already makes this point that the men and the women had fundamentally and categorically different levels of emunah. And it was Miriam and the Tzidkan Yoshebedor who had a higher level. Thus says the Mor of Hashemesh something awesome. If you take a look here, when did Miriam sing? She's singing before Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk tells us, Kiva sus paro, bericho farasha v'yam. The moment that Paro, his chariots, entered the water, at that moment, Miriam began to sing. She was prepared along with all the women to sing. She wasn't waiting for anything else. As soon as the Mitzrayim entered the water, she was ready, set to go. Let's get our drums out and let's begin to sing. If you look before the Shiras Hayam, before Moshe Rabbeinu started to sing, Moshe Rabbeinu waited. It was longer. Take a look in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayashuvu Hamayim, Perik Yudalet, Pasuk Chavches, Vayichasu Asarecha Vesaparosh Mecholchel Paro by Machrem Bayam Lo Nisher Bemarechad." You know when Moshe and Bnei Israel started to sing? Only once they saw the Mitzrayim were drowned. Only once they saw that there was nobody left. At that point, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael were singing. Miriam was ready to sing and was singing already once the Mitzrayim jumped in the water. The moment the water hit them, she was ready with her tupim and mecholos. She was ready with her drums and her musical instruments. She wasn't waiting. And then they all caught up, and then they sang together. But thus says the Maor of Hashemesh, an unbelievable insight to reconcile what seems to be, number one, a superfluous pasuk at the end of Shiras Hayam, and number two, why was Miriam singing at a different point in time than Moshe? And number three, what is it about Miriam Dafka singing, piggybacking on the latter pasuk, Kivosus Par Berich V'Rasha Bayam? Says the Mor of Hashemesh, that's exactly the point. Kitos, kitos. Not everybody was the same. You can't read Parshas Beshalach and understand the Bedor HaMidbar still in a very fundamental and basic and elementary way. There's a much deeper way to understand Parshas Beshalach. It wasn't one group. It wasn't that everybody's the same. There were different types of people, just like now we have men and women, and men and women have different levels of bitachon. Just like now we have different types of people within our community who have different levels of faith and trust in God. There's some people of a higher level. There's some people who are still trying to reach a certain level. There's some people who deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That happened upwards of 3,000 years ago. You can't say that only now there's a dichotomy. Only now there are factions of Jewry. They're believers, they're non-believers, they're observant, they're non-observant. It's not true. Already in the Dor HaMidbar, you see that people were challenged by their faith. As the Ramban says, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, absolutely, positively, were fully embraced in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they understood what was happening. But there was another group. There was another group that absolutely, positively were challenged. And there was an Achilles heel. And they were fighting Moshe. They were fighting God. And thus, again, you see the third point in the parasha. Besides for the Ramban, besides for the Klei Yakar, the Maor V'Shemesh makes this point as well. And points out beautifully that this was the significant difference between Miriam and Moshe. Regarding why it is that Miriam and is reported in the Torah singing later than Moshe, the Maor V'Shemesh says, Ulahim Tina. Maybe she waited. At Shamra Moshe, Haisi Chola Lomar Kol Ashira. Once Moshe was singing, she waited for Moshe to finish the entire song. Aval Hilo Him Tina, she didn't wait. Rak Tekef Kishirasa Shabo HaMitzrim El Toch Hayam V'Shavu HaMayim Aleim U'Bnei Yisrael Holchu B'Yabasha B'Soch Hayam Miyad V'Tika Chasatov B'Yad Var Mashira. And she immediately began singing. Why specifically the Torah puts in this order, I don't have an answer to that question, but that is the Maor V'Shemesh's explanation. If you keep on reading and following the parsha, again, you will see how this point emerges, not just in pre-Kriyas Yamsuf, not when Bnei Yisrael are walking on the sea, and not in only when they're leaving Shiras Hayam, but immediately after as well. If you take a look, something happens. Immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, and this is something we've discussed in different contexts over the years, Bnei Yisrael begin to complain. They begin to kvetch. And the kvetching takes place in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. They reach Mara. V'lo yachu lishtos mai mi Mara ki marim hem. Al kein karash ma Mara. Their first stop after Kriyas Yamsuf, after Shiras Yamsuf, is a place called Mara. But if you take a look in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, based upon the Ramban, who's complaining? Pasuk Chaf Dalet Vayilonu Ha'am. Again, it's not Bnei Yisrael. Vayilonu Ha'am, right? We always learn Parshas Bishalach and we say, oh, Mara Bnei Yisrael complained. It's not true. Vayilonu Ha'am, the nation complained, not Bnei Yisrael. It's that same group, like the Ramban says this as well in this Pasuk. Vayilonu Ha'am, it's this group. It's not everybody. At Mara Vayilonu Ha'am al Moshe Lema Manishta. Vayitzak el Hashem, Moshe cries out to God, Vayare Hashem Eish, Eitz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends this tree, tells Moshe to put this tree into the water, the water became sweetened, and then everything turned around. But again, we must appreciate, and we must understand that it's the and it's not Bnei Yisrael. However, in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Beis, in the next stop, things change. Because all of a sudden, Vayilonu, Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael al Moshe b'al Aaron b'Midbar. Here, things change. No longer is it just the No longer is it just the group, a faction of the Jewish people who are rebelling, who are anarchists, who are fighting Moshe and not believing in God. But here, all of a sudden, things change. Perek Tezayin Pasuk Beis Vayilonu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael al Moshe b'al Aaron b'Midbar. All of Bnei Yisrael begin to complain and are upset and are fighting. And are going to complain against Moshe and Aaron in the Binbar. Vayomru alayhem b'nei Yisrael. All of b'nei Yisrael, right? No longer just the Am. Mi'itein museini b'yad Hashem b'aretz b'nsam b'shiftein al-sir abasa b'achleinu lachem l'sova. We remember Egypt. We remember Mitzrayim. We remember what we had to eat. The fruits, the vegetables, the meat, the fish. You brought us to this Midbar that we should die? So all of a sudden now things change. All B'nai Yisrael together seem to be complaining bitterly against Moshe. It's no longer just the Am, but it's all B'nai Yisrael. And here we are introduced to the Man. And it would seem to be that the reason for the switch from Am to Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael are complaining, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a test. Not just to one group, not just to one faction, but all of B'nai Yisrael are being challenged. And the challenge is going to be something called the Man. The Man is not something so simple, because if you take a look in Pasuk Dal, it said, Leman anasenu hayelech b'tarasim lo. The Man is going to be a challenge, it's going to be a test for the Jewish people. Will we follow the rules the halachas, the assays and the los assays, the positive and the negative commandments of the Torah regarding the man. And I want to share with you again the same theme, which we've shown from the Ramban, the Kalei Yaakov, the Mor v'Shemesh, is also a chazal. Because you look in the psukim in the man, you see very different reactions that Bnei Yisrael had to the man. Take a look in the parsha of the man, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Dalet, the Torah tells us, V'yatzaham v'laktu d'var yom b'yoma, that they would am, remember, the am went out and collected on a daily basis, which indicates that Bnei Yisrael had to do something to get the man. It didn't just fall on their doorstep. It didn't just fall into their kitchen tables and on their counters. They had to actually go out and collect. However, if you look just a few psukim later, again in the Parashas Haman, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Torah seems to indicate that it did just fall. That the man absolutely fell in the machane. It fell in their space, in their area. Exactly where they were, that's where the man fell. So I don't understand. Did they have to go and collect the man, as the Torah tells us? And again later in Pasuk Chaval, Vayilkutu oso baboker. They went and collected it every day. Why'd they have to collect it if it fell in their machane, in their own Dalet Amos? And if you look in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Baloscha, where the Torah repeats the complaints that the Jewish people had at the man, the Torah tells us, Shatu ha'am v'laktu, that the nation had to roam around looking for the man. And the Gemara Maseches Yumadaf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph asks the question. It seems to be a stira in Psukim. There seems to be a contradiction in the Psukim of the Torah. On the one hand, the Torah tells us, Shatu ha'am v'laktu, that they had to roam around, that they had to wander looking for man. The other hand, it says, Laktu, they just had to pick it up and to collect it. The other Pasuk indicates that it fell in the machane. It was right there. So will the right answer raise its hand? Where did the man fall? Did it fall in their Dalet Amos, right outside of their homes? Did it fall in a place where they had to go roam and look and search for it? Or did it fall in a place where they had to go and collect and walk a little bit? So the Gemara in Yuma raises this stira in the Psukim and says the answer is as follows. It depends for who. There were factions of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Says the Gemara, Meseches Yuma, Daf Ayin Hem and Aleph, there were tzaddikim, there were Beinonim, and there were Rishayim. There were different groups of Jews. It wasn't one homogeneous group. It was a heterogeneous group of Jewish people in the Midbar. For the tzaddikim, do you know where the man fell? Right on their doorstep, in the machane, right in front of their homes. For the Beinonim, the Gemara says, Laktu. They had to go a little bit further. They had to walk around. They had to go collecting it. It wasn't so easy. It wasn't breakfast in bed. That was for the tzaddikim. That was the machane. But for the Rishayim, Shatu ha'am v'laktu. They had to roam and search and run around. It wasn't so simple. Thus, you see, again, the very same theme that we're bringing out from the Ramban, from the Kalei Yakar, from the Mor v'Shemesh, regarding pre-Kriyas Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, post-Kriyas Yamsuf. This was a theme that existed in the Mon as well. Kitos. There were groups of Klal Yisrael. There were some who believed, who were satisfied with the Mon. That group, it fell for them right where it belonged, right in their homes. For the group that were less Ma'aminim, who were not as strong in their faith, they had to collect. And for the group who was painfully challenged and were not believers and were deniers of God, they had to roam the machane. They had to go out of the machane. They had to go out of machane Yisrael and search for the man because it wasn't as easy for them. So again, you see that the Gemara Chazal understand that this factions that existed in the Midbar was something that was prevalent, not only pre-Kriyas Yamsuf, during Kriyas Yamsuf and post-Kriyas Yamsuf, but existed as well in the belief and the emuna of the man as well. If you take a look as well in the Parshas Haman, you'll see a very, very similar theme. And it's almost difficult to understand the same way the Ramban posed the question, how could they cry out and call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then in the same breath start complaining to Moshe? And the Ramban says there were two different groups. If you look in the Psukim here as well, you see the very same thing, the Aruch HaShulchan. Bichil Michal Epstein makes this point in his classic work, Aruch HaShulchan Simen Aleph, that if you look here, you see enormous amount of complaints. Look in the Psukim here in Parshas Haman. I'll share with you just a few examples. The Torah tells us that they complained and they fought and they argued on Moshe Rabbeinu. Take a look in the Psukim. The Torah tells us regarding the Bnei Israel in the Midbar that Moshe Rabbeinu told them you have to take a specific amount. What did they do? They didn't listen. V'lo Shamuel Moshe pasuk chaf v'yosiru anashim enu ad boker v'yarum toloim v'yivash. That the mun got wormy, moldy, disgusting, because there was a group of people who didn't want to collect it on a daily basis. They didn't believe that it would fall every day. They saved it. They thought that they were being smart. They wanted leftovers from Shabbos. And they said, it's not going to come again on Sunday. Says Moshe, yeah, that's what you think? And a Kadosh Baruch Hu came and told them, your leftovers are going to get moldy, spoiled, wormy, because you don't believe. And the people continued to complain, and they kvetched. And if you see again, says Aruch HaShulchan, there was a certain group of Bnei Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, who were mislonanim, who were complaining. As the Torah tells us, that Moshe says, B'seis Hashem lachem ba'era baso lecho v'lechem ba'boki l'spoa, b'shmoa Hashem es tluno seichem. I hear your complaints, asher atem malinim alav, that you're complaining against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'nachnu ma'a lo aleinu tluno seichem ki al Hashem. You're not complaining to me, says Moshe, you're complaining against God. So the word tluno seichem, says the Aruch HaShulchan, comes upwards of four times in the Parsha Saman. This, by the way, is the reason Aruch HaShulchan says, halachically, that the Parsha of the Man is not found in the Sidurim. There are many halachic authorities who are of the opinion that you should say the Parsha of the Man on a daily basis. The Sefer Amanig, the early Rishon, the Sefer, it's even brought in Tur, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, that you should recite the Parsha Saman on a daily basis. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know why it's not printed in your Sidurim? And do you know why we don't say it as a Tzibur? Is because there was complaints. There was part of Bnei Yisrael who was very disappointed and disappointing and complained bitterly against Moshe and against Aaron and against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, for that reason, says the Aruch HaShulchan, a chiddush lahalacha, that that's the reason that we don't recite Parshas Haman daily on a daily basis for that very reason. Even though, as I pointed out, there are Rishonim and there are Bnei Bachaya here on the Parsha, as well as the Manig, as I pointed out, the Tashbetz Katan, all say that you should. Nonetheless, that's what you see. Let me show you another place where you see in the Parsha the very, very same thing, in the Parsha Saman. Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Toward the end of the Parsha Saman, Vayomer Moshe. Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, Ichluhu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, Hayom Lo Simtzu Basada. By the way, the word Hayom appears three times in this Pasuk, and this is the halachic reason that you're supposed to have three meals on Shabbos, Shalosh Seudos. Because the Torah says, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. This is three times on Shabbos, and therefore that's the makor, the source, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Perek Kol Kisvei, the 16th Perek, that you're supposed to eat three meals on Shabbos, Ichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lo Simtzu Basada. So don't go collecting for man on Shabbos, it's going to fall twice on Erev Shabbos, and of course that's the reason that we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos, because the man didn't fall on Shabbos, and therefore fell twice on Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, and that's why we have two rolls on Shabbos. If you're going to ask the question, we should have really Lecha Mishnah on Friday and not on Shabbos. It's a good question, because the man fell twice on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos, for a separate discussion. Nonetheless, what happened? Even though Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael, don't collect on Shabbos. V'haya b'yom ha-shvi'i, it was on the seventh day, yatsu min ha'am v'lil kot v'lo matzu. Who went out and collected? Ha'am. It wasn't all of Bnei Yisrael who was troubled. It wasn't all of Klal Yisrael who was causing Moshe challenges and Aaron challenges and fighting Hashem. It was the again. And if you read the Parsha carefully, all of Parshas Bishalach, and if you read Sefer Bamidbar now with more careful eyes, I'll pee the Ramban that I'm telling you. The Ramban says there's Am Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael. It's the Am who's troubled. And if you read Parshas Haman carefully, the word Am is a reference to when Bnei Yisrael were not listening. It's that group, it's that faction. As opposed to Bnei Yisrael, who are different, who are believers. By the way, there are many. If you look in multiple Sfarim, specifically the Chassidish Sfarim, they point out Yatsu Min Ha'am is actually a reference to Dasan Ve'avira. They were the ones who went out on Shabbos. And if you're all familiar, there are some who explain that the reason for the minhag to give the birds seeds or food to eat on Shabbos, it's because of this pasuk. You know what happened? Dasan v'aviram, they wanted to fight Moshe Rabbeinu. They went out Friday night after everybody was sleeping. They put out seeds around all of Machane Yisrael to make it look like the man fell on Friday night. And this would be a way to threaten and to really uproot the authority of Moshe and Aaron. Miraculously, what happened? Birds came. Tziporim and Ophos came and they ate up all the seeds. And thus, when they woke up in the morning, Bnei Yisrael didn't see any seeds. And they understood that, of course, no man fell as Moshe promised. And that's how they read the pasuk. Vayhi bayom hashvi. It was on the seventh day. Yatsu min ha'am. Certain members of the nation, who's that referring to? It's referring to Dasan Vaviram, Lilkot. They went up Shabbos morning to look for the seeds that they left behind. Below Matsu, they didn't find them. And since they didn't find them, they were disappointed, they were distressed, they were unhappy, and of course, a happily ever after, because the Ophos and the Tziparim, the birds, ate all of what they put out on Friday night, and therefore on an annual basis we thank the birds and we give them what to eat every year, Parshas Bishalach, when we read the month. If you continue the Parsha, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, again, you'll see the very same theme that exists as well, again, regarding Bnei Yisrael. Vayisu kol ades Bnei Yisrael mimidbar sin lamaseh, al pi Hashem vayachanu birfidim, vein mayim lishtos, ha'am. There's no water for the Am to drink. It's the same Am. It's the same group. It's the same faction. Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. Not Bnei Yisrael. Doesn't say Vayarev Bnei Yisrael Moshe. Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. Vayomru tnu lanu mayim v'nishteh. Vayomru la Moshe. Mati ravini madi. Mati nasunas Hashem. Pasuk Gimel. Vayitzma sham ha'am lamayim. Vayalen ha'am al Moshe. Four times in a series of two psukim, Perek Yud Zayin, psukim Beis and Gimel, who's complaining? Not Bnei Yisrael. Vayalen ha'am, vayarev ha'am, vayitzma sham ha'am, vayalen ha'am in Moshe. Again, it's the same group continuously. This faction challenging the authority of Moshe and Aaron, not believing in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, read the psukim carefully. See Parshas Bishalach, Sefer Bamidbar, Al Pi the Ramban. It's Bnei Yisrael versus the Am. Let's finish Parshas Bishalach, as we did on Shabbos. And here's the problem. Vayavu Amalek, vayilachim im Yisrael birefidim. Amalek comes and attacks Yisrael birefidim. So Parshas Bishalach ends as we prepare for Purim, Parshas Zachar. Amalek, the enemy that always threatens us, that attacks us when we're weak, as it says in the end of Parshas Kiseitze, Amalek comes and attacks all of Bnei Yisrael, not just the Am. But Parshas Kiseitze, where the Torah reports the remembrance, the requirement that we have to recall, to commemorate, Michias Amalek, Zechiros Amalek, says, who did they attack? They attack the weak, the Nechashalim, those who were not believing, those who were not ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Amalek comes and attacks us when we're weak, when we don't have the strength, when we don't have the fortitude, when we don't have the belief. And thus, exactly after the parsha, where Bnei Yisrael are complaining in Refidim, vayalein ha'am, vayitzma sham ha'am, when we're always in a bad place, as Rashi says in Parshas Kiseitze, that's when Amalek attacks. And our goal, our responsibility, when we're attacked, and when Amalek comes, and when stressful, difficult, trying situations emerge, is that we should have emunah. And therefore, in the last pasuk, in the story of Amalek in Parshas Bishalach, Vayhi yadav emunah ad bo ha-shemesh, Moshe's hands were a source of faith, of trust, of strength for all of Bnei Yisrael. Vayachlosh Yehoshua Samalek v'samalef yicharev. Thus, what I'm trying to bring out in Parshas Bishalach, and what requires further analysis and further elucidation and time, really, to study Parshas Bishalach and all of Sefer Bamidbar, and what's critical to note, is that these challenges that we have in our generation, and some of the difficulties we see, where Bnei Yisrael are not homogeneous, and are not together, is something that has been an Achilles heel of ours, not just in this generation, not just in generations previous, but dating back upwards of 3,000 years ago. There's Bnei Yisrael and there's Am Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is who we strive to be like. They were the Ma'aminim. They were the Balei Bitachon. They are the Ochlei Haman. They are the ones who stood at the forefront and at the apex. And they were the people who everybody was trying to imitate. But we can't always be like Bnei Yisrael. And there was the Am Yisrael. And they reached a point of Emunah, Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem, Vayaminu B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo. A little bit later, they'll get there. We believe that the Am will catch up with us. But it's highs and lows, it's ups and downs, it's trials and tribulations. It waxes and it wanes. As you see throughout the Parsha, the Am is always challenged, is always threatened. They're unable to stay on the straight and narrow. They can't continuously climb the ladder and rung by rung to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as you see, the Pshat of the Ramban, the Kliyaka, the Mor V'Shemesh, as well as the Gemara and Yuma and Daf Ayin Hey, you see this heterogeneous group of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. And it's important as you read Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Beshalach and understand Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is to appreciate, understand you can't just read it as one group. You have to understand that there were men and there were women. There were adults and there were children. There was the Am and there was Yisrael. And if you have that attitude, you'll be able to appreciate the Dor HaMidbar much, much better and appreciate that even within the story and the parsha of the man, there were those who were tzaddikim, those who were sharm, those who were abaninim. Even though Bnei Yisrael crossed the sea, there were different types of Jews who crossed the sea. Some Jews crossed the sea b'soch hayam b'yabasha. Some Jews crossed b'soch hayabasha b'soch hayam. Not everybody was the same. Some sang Shira right away. Some had to wait to sing Shira. Some believed and didn't go out and collect the man on Shabbos. Some tried to fool us. Some were ready. Some were prepared. Some weren't ready. And some weren't prepared. That is the approach of the Ramban. That's what the Kliyaka, the Mor V'Shemesh, Chazal seem to indicate is the Yisod of Parshas Beshalach, the Yisod of Sefer Bamidbar. May we be zocha really to be part of Bnei Yisrael and to strive always to grow in our Avodas Hashem and our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being part of Bnei Yisrael, and even when challenges and struggles and stress does come, that we're able to stand tall to it and to understand fully that the challenges that we have are challenges that Bnei Yisrael always have had, and that we should be able to stand up to them, be strong, and to continue to be from the Bnei Yisrael. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.